thank you very much, dear brother. And for both Helen and me, it almost seems impossible that this is our final session together. As I take my drink of water, I want to assure Brother Morgan that I'll leave him lots for tomorrow morning. It has been a real joy to be with you, and I say that most warmly and most sincerely. Helen and I look forward to the experience immensely. We have not been disappointed. In fact, we were commenting just before the service in our cabin how much we've enjoyed the week with you. Seems a shame that you really just start to get to know people, and here the week is over. I want to thank the committee for inviting us to come along. It's been a delight. I want to thank, too, the young people. It's always a joy for me personally to see the young people up close to the front and paying attention to the Word of God. That has been a blessing to my soul. We were, of course, strangers, and you took us in, and for this we will be forever grateful. We'll think often of you as we think back to this week, and we'll be continuing to pray for God's blessing on West Virginia Bible Camp. What a pleasure it has been for us to be with Phil and June Morgan. We have enjoyed Phil's rich ministry and been blessed by it. It's always so nice, you know, when you know the brother with whom you're going to be ministering, and you just know that you're compatible and your messages will tend to flow and tie together and be blessed. That's only half the blessing. The other half is that when his wife and your wife enjoy each other. And I think I can certainly say, as far as Helen is concerned, how much she has enjoyed June. It's been a real delight, and we thank our God. We thank him for all the enjoyable memories. One thing, however, does disappoint me. I understand that the executive committee, following that escapade out on the lawn where we had to bounce up and down on the balloons and break them, they're still looking for the sister who had to take numerous attempts at breaking the balloon. Now, sister, you bent the chair, and if you could kindly make it good before you leave, the committee would be appreciative. I realize that I am likely the only preacher who has come to West Virginia Bible Camp who leaves with the distinction of having his wife be the only one to go down the kid's slide. Now, she did that this morning, and if you happen to have missed that, there will be an instant replay after this service tonight. I'm proud of her for that achievement. A little embarrassed, however, when during the games period she kept losing her marbles. But these are the things that camps are made of, aren't they? And we thank God for every precious memory, and we'll continue to laugh and to pray for you. I'm so excited that Rob Lindstedt is going to be with you next year. Rob is a very, very close friend of mine. He can preach twice as long as I can in one service. In fact, when we had him on one occasion at our chapel for a series, and I don't mean to scare you, but this is what happened. The kids really enjoyed his ministry. An excellent prophetic teacher, and he can really give some interesting messages. But at times, he goes beyond his speaking time. So on Sunday afternoon when he got up there, he noted that the kids had taken down the clock at the back of the chapel and put up a calendar. Now, it didn't faze him at all. But I was amused when he came back the next time. He didn't tell his wife of that experience until they were driving to St. Catherine. You know, in true preacher fashion, he just kept that to himself. But he is a dear brother, and I want to encourage you to start saving up your pennies, your nickels, your dimes, whatever you have to do, to make sure that you're here at camp next August. If the Lord has tarried, you'll enjoy it, and particularly you young people, he'll just blow you right out of the water, I assure you. So you make sure you're here, and bring more of your tribe along with you. Well, we have been thinking during this week of our beloved Lord as Savior, as Lord, as Judge, as advocate, and we must think of him tonight as our shepherd. Ever felt you needed a shepherd? Ever felt you needed somebody to go through life with? I sure have. Well, he's ready, he's willing, he's able, and he wants to walk through life with you. So we must read what we have just sung as we turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that nice? My shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Loving Father, this psalm has been a blessing to countless millions through time. We pray that it will be a blessing to each and every one here this evening. We pray in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. One spring morning, the mother of a college co-ed drove a Pennsylvania turnpike to spend the day with her daughter. Her daughter was very much aware of her mother's deep concern as she drove. She had a particular fear for tunnels. So, knowing that there were several through which she must pass, when her mother finally arrived on campus, she said, "Well, Mom, how did the trip go? How did you make out through the tunnel?" She said, "One was 2.5. Perplexed, the daughter looked at her mother and she said, "What do you mean? 2.5 miles or 2.5 minutes? 2.5 what?" She said, "It was 2.5 Psalm 23. So, there are times when we wanted to use Psalm 23 as a comfort and a strength. We have actually read together, beloved, the jewel of all literature, regardless of language. For centuries, it has thrilled the hearts of God's people. And I believe with all of my heart that it's fitting in this high-tech age of ours that we pause to enjoy the precious notes of Israel's sweet singing psalmist. We'll enjoy these beautiful words. If you have a commentary or commentaries, you'll likely find a number of very interesting and precious outlines. I give you just a couple. I believe it was J.R. Littleproud, a Bible teacher from Toronto, who first used the outline that this psalm divides itself into three secrets. There's the secret of a happy life. There's the secret of a happy death and a happy eternity. John Phillips, in his book, I believe it is, who lays this very precious outline before us, and he says, why, there's the glen, there's the gorge, and the glory. Precious. Then another says, in this psalm we have our frailty, our foes, and our future. Well, I'm not going to be so brief. I'm going to give you a 6-point outline. I'm going to consider with you in verse 1 the person of the shepherd, the provision of the shepherd in verse 2, the path of the shepherd in verse 3, the presence of the shepherd in 4, the protection of the shepherd in verse 5, and finally, the prospect of the sheep in verse 6. And I have to do that in 26 minutes. It's a challenge. Look with me first at verse 1. We have the person of the shepherd. Who is he? You've already been introduced to him.
He is the Lord. The Lord of heaven and earth. God, the very God. The Lord is my shepherd. This eternal God. There is none greater. He spoke, the word of God says, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, when we were down at the campfire last evening, I looked over the heavens, and I could only see one star. Now, I don't know what's happened to your sky, but there should be more up there. Because this book tells me, after he created it all, and we come through that thrilling account of creation, what does it say? Oh, by the way, he made the stars also. And I believe he flung them from his fingertips, and they set the heavens ablaze in the blackness of the night. Thank God, this is your shepherd, and this is my shepherd. And it thrills me when he's given such a precious title. I get excited when I read of him as the Rose of Sharon. In all of his beauty and of all his fragrance. When I learn of him as the lily of the valley, I love to think of him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Isn't there power there, guys? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one whom the sweet song of Solomon could write and say, yes, he's altogether lovely, said the bride. This is my beloved. This is my friend. And for common, ordinary people like you and me, as we near the glory, how wonderful it is tonight to be able to say, the Lord, he's my shepherd. Oh, I know he's yours, but he's mine. And you can say the same. Isn't that great? Doesn't that warm your soul tonight? I don't know about you, but I know about this man. That as I leave West Virginia Bible Camp, what I want more than anything else is to know that when I go up that crazy windy road, I got a shepherd going out with me, and he's going all the way to St. Catherine's. And he's going to wherever you're going. And kids, as you go back to school or the workplace or whatever it is, there's a shepherd with you. And don't you ever forget it. Dear mom, dear dad, with problems and concerns of life that are so severe and acute that only you and God know anything about. Isn't it thrilling to know? But the Lord, he's my shepherd. And you know what? To me, this just blows me away. He's interested in his sheep. Poor, straying, wandering sheep like me. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? He has always been interested in sheep. Remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 6? Why, when he was here below, my Bible tells me in verse 34, he saw many people and he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he was concerned. And he wanted that they should have a shepherd, that they should be under his care, under his love, to know his nearness, his protection, his care. Oh, beloved child of God, he's interested in all of God's people. I know that. But he's interested in you as an individual with all of your concerns, with all of your problems. He's interested in you. My Bible tells me, and I love the passage, that he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He'll gently lead those that are with young. He'll carry them in his arms. He'll care for them. And he wants to care for you. And I want to suggest to you tonight, whatever your concern might be during this coming year, and each of us will have those concerns, in those hours of deep need, you go to God and say, oh God, I need to feel the arms of the Good Shepherd right now. Right now. And then you go to the book and you read Psalm 23. And you feel the warmth of his heartbeat. When you realize the Lord is my shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. He told us in John 10 verse 11, why the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life for you. Isn't that thrilling? What more can he do? And if he gave his life for you, beloved, he will give everything to you that you need in the year that's to come, should the Lord tarry. He wants to give it to you tonight. Oh, open your heart to him. Unreservedly. Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm yours. And I want to feel the warmth of your tender embrace. I know, Lord Jesus, that you died for me. I love the words of the poet, don't you? He put it this way, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert, he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. And what did he do? He went to where that poor lost sheep was, put it on his shoulders, as we heard last night. I don't know what you think. But I believe when he did, he really just made a neck piece out of that little sheep. And he held the hind feet in one hand and the front in the other. And together, safely, he bore that sheep home to the fold. That's the kind of a shepherd. That's the person of the shepherd who wants to keep and care for you. But then notice the provision of the shepherd in verse 2. I shall not want. When we read that verse a few moments ago, I couldn't help but think of the confidence that we have in verse 1 rather. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. What's he going to do? He's going to provide us with all the sustenance that we need. There's ample and an abundance of food for us. And there's water to satisfy. Cold, crystal clear water that satisfies the soul. And the psalmist said, I shall not want. Oh, hey, put your head on that and go to sleep. I don't mean in a meeting, I mean tonight. I shall not want. Who said it? God said it. Okay, Lord, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. I shall not want. I shall not want what? Well, I shall not want. I shall not lack food. Why? There's green pastures here. Beautiful picture of what? This holy, holy book. Here it is, kids. You want to be satisfied? You want to begin the day with a light and a happy heart? You got to start here. End the day here as well. Have a good feed on the Word of God. Yes? It will satisfy your soul. There's refreshment here. What did he say? He said, I shall not lack food. I won't lack refreshment. Why, there's still waters. Still waters. You know, the tender, timid little sheep, you'll never see him going down to the fast-moving Niagara and putting his hot little nose in there for a drink. Never. But what will he do? He'll go where the waters are still and placid. And he'll dip his hot little nose in, and he'll take his drink. Ah, there's refreshment here. Nothing can satisfy the soul like that. I remember going through a particularly troublesome and difficult time a number of years ago when I was at Niagara College. I thought to myself, now, who knows what I'm going through in the work sense? A fellow was president of a large company in our area. Elder, a fellow elder in my assembly. Duncan, this is the problem I have. What do you recommend? He said, Ernest, go home and read Psalm 37. Read it. He said, many nights I've wakened and I've got my mind on business and I'll just get up and I'll take my Bible and I'll read the Psalms until I fall asleep. You heard about the doctor, didn't you? Who was called in the middle of the night by a distraught patient, and he said, take two Psalm 37s and call me in the morning. Now, you give it a try. Psalm 37, it will refresh and bless and rest your soul. There's no lack of vitality. Why? He restores my soul so that I can mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. This gives moral direction, this holy book. Why? He said, he's going to lead me in the paths of what? Righteousness. You as a believer want to walk in the paths of righteousness, don't you?
And Satan will come along and tempt you, as we noted the other morning. The kids and young people and older ones too go in for walking in the paths of righteousness. O blessed shepherd, I lock my arm in yours. Take me through life along the right path. There'll be no lack of moral direction. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The thought is to lie down and rest. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, what? More abundantly. Isn't that great? There's another rendering I like better. This is what it says. I am come that they might have life and that they might have a super abundant life. Isn't that great? For 46 years, I've had a super abundant life. You know, the world out there doesn't know anything about it. Absolutely nothing. It has nothing to compare with it. I have all of this in heaven too. Somebody said, that one of the kids said before they came to camp this year, is this what heaven is going to be like? Well, this is a good start. This is a good start. Streets are paved with gold there and they're straight. And yeah, a little slow, come on. But the point is this. Oh, the beauty of this place, we can enjoy it. But ours is a heavenly abode. And the psalmist says, why? This is something that he can enjoy. There are green pastures. He's going to lie down and he's going to rest. Green pastures suggest two things. It suggests a largeness, pastures, large. Green, sufficiency and sustenance. And they're both for you and me to enjoy. Yeah. You know, as a believer, let's face it, you got the best of it. Pity the poor worldling out there. He's trying hard to satisfy himself, and he's going to hell at the end. You've got all of this in heaven too. So, he says, I'll be with you. I am come that they might have life. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. The thought is not stone and sand, but an uninhabited place. I like that. Place where there's nobody else, just the Lord and me, just to enjoy him. May you and I know what it is that is weary thing. Traveling the road to glory to take time with a shepherd and rest a while. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads, he gently guides, and his pace is just the pace to fit the need of his sheep. Yes, he's here. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, said Isaiah. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Man, what a shepherd. And he wants to bless you. Then notice the path. He restoreth my soul, as we've noted. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Any soul here tonight that feels the need of restoring, feel the need of being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, I hope that as you've looked with us at John chapter 14, that your heart has been warmed and drawn to the Savior. You've been restored and felt the blessing of God. He restoreth my soul. Psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let's enjoy what we have in God. Psalmist said in 19 verse 7, the law, the word of God. Now get this, this is precious. The word of God is perfect, converting, and that word converting is the same as the word restore. Converting or restoring the soul. The word of God is perfect, it restores the soul. What am I saying? I'm saying that, and would to God the Spirit would drive it into our hearts tonight. Dear child of God, if you need restoration, there is only one place to get it. That's the Word of God. I have found in dealing with God's people who have got away from the Lord, you can ask them two questions. Number one, when did you stop reading your Bible? And they can tell you. Number two, when did you stop praying? And they'll tell you. They know that when they stop exercising both of those privileges, that's when they got away from God. And I've said before, and I repeat it, I believe it's harder to get a backslider in fellowship with God
than it is to win a sinner to the Savior.
You can disagree with me, but I'll likely have lunch next week with a dear brother that I love every atom of his being. And I've pled with him for 10 years, I guess, by now, to get back with God. And he knows his problem. He's not reading his Bible. And this book says that the law of God restores the soul. But we want to find other methods. There is no method to beat it. And it's the only method I know is Bible reading and prayer. And so he restores me with joy. He has a personal interest in soul's restoration. He restores my soul. The thought is that he rescues my life. It was a practice in those days, the days of the psalmist, that if a sheep of the flock strayed into forbidden territory, property that was owned by another, that sheep became the property of the one onto whose land he had wandered. And that one could slay him, do what he wanted with him. You know, I know a lot of God's sheep, and they've strayed off the course, and they've wandered into forbidden territory, and spiritually speaking, why? They're a dead loss as far as the things of God are concerned. Oh, dear child of God, walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sad when we as sheep stray from the paths of righteousness and are ensnared by the subtle plan and purposes of Satan. Amos asks the question, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And if you're going to walk with God, you've got to enjoy his fellowship. I wish I had time tonight to take you to the Emmaus Road. I love that 24th of Luke. I reread it this afternoon again. Those two distraught disciples, and you've been there. You know what it is to have an empty, broken, heavy heart. And what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ joined them. Says, what manner of conversation is this that ye have one with another and are sad? You know what that word sad means? How come your faces are twisted with grief? And that's the way it was. Huh, haven't you heard what's happened? They told him. Then he began at Moses and beginning at all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the things concerning himself. Finally, when they sat down in that little home, and he took the bread, and as the guest he became host and he broke it, they saw in his hands the wounds of Calvary. They recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. What's the point? The point is this, that they walked in fellowship with him. And as they walked in the paths of righteousness, what did he do? He deigned to sit in their home. You know, tell me, is there anything better than having Christ in your home? I think there is. One thing. Better than him being in my home. That's me, being in his. Oh, thank God. It's going to happen, beloved, one day. Let us walk then in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then the presence of the shepherd. Verse 4. The valley of the shadow of death. David knew his presence on the path, and he would know it in the valley. And as you know it in the path of God, you'll know it in the valley. When the shadow of death, it's been pointed out before, it's not a new thought. But you know, there's no harm in a shadow. It can be a growling beast, ferocious. It can be a sharp, uplifted blade, and it crosses a shadow that crosses the path. There's no harm in the shadow. Now, David said, going through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You see, death is to the believer only a shadow. He went through it. He endured it. He experienced it. And now, beloved, when you and I go through, it's just through the shadow. 3 years ago, I believe it was last January, my mother was terribly ill. I have a brother, Ross. He's a dear brother and a godly man. I remember one day as he sat with mother as she neared her end, she said, Ross, I'm going through the valley of the shadow. But he was with her, took her safely home. Dear child of God, thank God. As we go through the valley of the shadow, what does he say? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Shepherd had a rod. Shepherd had a staff. At the close of the day, he gave the signal, And the sheep started to head toward the fold. You know what he did? There was that singular door into the fold. And as the sheep started through one by one, he got down and he had his rod. And he just put it across the door at about the height of the back of a sheep. It was his electronic counting mechanism. At about the height of the back of a sheep. It was his electronic counting mechanism for those days. And as each sheep went under, he would just count one. And he'd take a look at it. Look to see if it had any cuts or bruises that needed to be healed and helped. And when he found one, he'd just pour a little bit of oil in it. Rub some cedar tar into it. And that little sheep in its comfort would feel the touch and the warmth of the shepherd's hand on its head. And he'd pass in. Thy rod, it was comforting to know. Why? It knew the shepherd was there to comfort it and to strengthen it. Isn't that great? Hey, guys and girls and older ones, your shepherd wants to comfort you. And he'll do it as you go under the rod. But then there was the staff. And he said, thy staff, they comfort me. The staff was that on which the shepherd leaned. And then when he was going into a new area, do you know what he'd do? He'd often take that staff. And when he saw there were some bushes there, he'd take it and he'd hit them a few times. And if there were any snakes or small animals or unwanted dogs, why, it would drive them away. And that little sheep knew, the shepherd's gone before me with his staff, and all safe here. And he goes before you. And he knows that where he leads you, he'll take you there in safety. There were times when the sheep got entangled in the brush. What did he do? Took that staff. Just kind of gently hooked it around his body, helped him out. That poor little sheep was released. He's got a staff. He'll use his staff just to keep you on the way, help you along, and be a blessing to your soul. Then there was the protection of the sheep, of the shepherd rather. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I looked over this text. Before I came to camp, I thought to myself, you know, what a strange place for protection. What a strange place in the presence of his enemy. He said, he's just going to set up a table for me. Isn't that great? You know, my mind went back, no doubt yours will too, as you thought of the people of Israel journeying from Egypt to Canaan. No food. What were they to do? God said, I'll provide a table for you in the presence of your enemy. And he rained down manna from heaven. And he fed them. And others of God's people through history have known the protection, the care, and the love of a Savior who provides. As I studied this passage, it was just at the time of the Kuwait crisis. And the U.S. in those early days, you remember, some of your officials said they thought the supply lines would be too great to send troops there. Now, they've changed their minds. The troops are there, and the supply lines apparently are meeting their needs. But you know what? My God knows nothing of short supply lines. Wherever you are, he meets your need, and he sets up a table in the presence of your enemy. He has proven ability to meet your each and your every need. Little girl had been severely disciplined. Told that among other things that she couldn't eat with the rest of the family. And she was beginning to feel the fact that she was an outcast within the family. Rather than being invited to the table when she came for supper that night, there was a little table over in the corner. And she had to eat over there. Father said the grace. When he was finished, she'd had about enough and she said, Lord, I want to thank you for preparing this table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, thanks be to God. He meets out every need, and he'll bless you as well. He's a skillful shepherd, and he provides the best eating places. He knows them. He leads them to the place of refuge when they need that. He'll take them to sweet, nutritious grass, and they'll eat that, and they'll enjoy it as day by day. What does he do? He anoints their heads with oil. When a guest was invited to a home in Eastern times, it was the responsibility of the host to anoint his guest. And so, you and I, beloved, invited into fellowship with the Lord, We are anointed with the perfume and the oil of the Holy Spirit, refreshed and invigorated, and we're able to go on in His service. An athlete, just before a contest, often washed his body and then anointed himself with oil and perfume. It seemed to give a sensitivity to the skin and refreshment, and then he was able to move forward. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit received upon conversion to Christ and now walk in its enabling, in his enabling and filling. An abundant supply of God's goodness. What does the psalmist say? Why, my cup runneth over. There it is. It was not unusual when a shepherd got a large pan, two handles, and he took that pan and he set it down before the sheep. And in that still water, they put their fevered nose and they were refreshed. And so he wants to refresh you. And many of God's children have known the abundant supply of God's goodness in such a way. I remember one time receiving a poem from our dear brother Gordon Rieger, and it blessed my soul. And this is how it goes. I've never made a fortune, and I'll never make one now. But it really doesn't matter, because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer, because the cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's rough, but while I've got friends to love me, I think I'm rich enough. I'll just thank God for the blessing that His mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer, because the cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage, when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessing. I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help bear another's load. Then I'll be drinking from the saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Got a cup that's overflowed? I'm sure you do. Enjoy it and its goodness to the full. Finally, there is the prospect. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Looking back over his life, the psalmist with confidence in the goodness of God and the mercy that had followed him. He was followed by two companions, mercy and goodness. Goodness, the liberality of God. Who can describe the liberality of God? Or what he gives as he gave his only son? He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Don't you think, dear child of God, passing through those deep waters, he gave his son for you. He gave everything. Do you think he's going to leave it to you to get through that problem alone? Never. Never. He'll meet your every need. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My heavenly Father knows that I have need of these things, he said. Loving kindness to follow me all the days of my life. You know what the thought is there? To follow. It doesn't mean to follow at a distance. It means to pursue. He's hot on your track. Goodness and mercy are following you, are pursuing you every day of your life. And in the fullness of joy at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Someday, the journey's going to be over. Someday soon, we'll be at home with the Lord. Won't it be great? Then we'll be able to look back over time and say, well, I've enjoyed it with the shepherd. He's walked with me all the way. He's with me through the valley, and now I'm home with the Lord. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Oh, beloved, what a shepherd we have. It was December 25th, Christmas Day, 1976. Just ready with a family around the Christmas tree to give out the gifts. Phone rang. Answered it. It was the nursing home. Mr. McEntee, your mother's taken a turn for the worst. I said, I'll be there as soon as I can. We gave up the gifts, and I left with a heavy heart. As I drove to that nursing home close to ours. I said, Lord, give me one privilege, just one honor, one request. Let me be with my mother when she goes to heaven. Days passed. Mother grew weaker. January 16. Mother had been slipping, and we'd gone to the home 4, 5, 6 times a day. About 5 o'clock that afternoon, I'm there. Mother's weaker. Called Helen and I said, honey, when's supper? She said, 5:30. I said, I'm going to stay until then. Brother Ross's Believer's Hymn Book was on the night table. I picked it up, turned to a hymn that I knew Mother loved, and ever so softly I began to sing, O Christ, He is the fountain. The deep, sweet well of love, the streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above, there to an ocean's fullness, His mercy doth expand, there where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. I looked at Mother. Chest no longer heaved. She was quiet. She was still. I bent low over her. Mother was gone. Before I concluded that verse about Emmanuel's land, my dear mother of 86 years of age was there. The nurse came in. Mr. McEntee, think I'll give your mom a drink. I said, Yvonne, she doesn't need it. She just left us. Check her pulse. Did. She was in Emmanuel's land, in my Father's house, many mansions, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, dear one, you can't beat a God like that, can you? Oh, tonight, love Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Judge, as your Advocate, and as your Shepherd. Father, thank You from the bottom of our hearts for Family Camp 1990. Thank You for the Shepherd. We'd like to walk in fellowship with Him until He calls us from these pastures into His presence. We pray in His worthy, lovely name. Amen.
The Lord has been speaking to hearts this week. Decisions have been made. Perhaps He's still speaking to some. I'd like us to turn to 531. Sing it softly and quietly. Perhaps if you can't sing it and mean it, maybe you could just let others sing. And perhaps soon you'll be able to sing this. I hope that none of us will go away from this camp without being able to sing this truthfully after all we've heard this week and the way the Lord's been dealing. 531.